dwelling in the darkest depths of the mind. It's time for Mark D. Valenti and Brain Burrow.
Okay, this is Mark D. Valenti here with Brain Burrow, and today I have a very special guest, and I'm going to be digging deep with Jen Nangle.
Ooh, that's deep.
Isn't it, right? So, Jen, how the heck are you?
Oh, I'm just living the dream out here in sunny Los Angeles, California. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Obviously not as sunny out here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. Too but, yes. That's
right. Exactly. So, Jen, when you say that you're living the dream, like, what exactly are you doing out there?
That's me staying positive.
Oh. So there may be something a little deeper going on here, and that's exactly why we're going to dig a little deeper on the show.
Getting
so
deep. Good. Getting deep, yep.
That's right. So it's, yeah, so, I mean, for those that don't know, like, what exactly do you do? Like, what do you mean? You're out there in sunny California. I mean, what's that? Not everybody knows Jen Nangle. So who is Jen Nangle?
I am an actress. I am also a horror hostess. I'm producer, sometimes director, a lot times writer. I work at a tanning salon for my survival job, which is a very interesting job to have out here in LA. Hoping that we don't get stuck in quarantine again.
Yikes. Okay. Well, that's a lot that you do. I hear some of this and some of that. And what's that? So tanning, like, well, yeah, tell me about that. Why is it an interesting job out there, the tanning job out there in LA? As you said, your survival job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what pays the bills, mostly. That's what pays the rent every month. And it's just a very interesting job because I meet a whole array of people and personalities. You know, some of the celebrities I've run into have been kind of downers. You know, a lot of reality people. I meet a lot of industry folk, and it's really interesting to, you know, meet some of them in person. But it's a very exhausting job, though, too, because it's tanning. So people want to look good and feel better. So most of the time they come in and they're not feeling very good about themselves. And they kind of like to throw a lot of those negative feelings about themselves at the person that's trying to help them. And once they leave, they feel great. And us empaths, we're still holding on to, you know, that residual energy. So it's definitely a roller coaster for sure.
Yeah, that's interesting. And by the way, I appreciate the reciprocal air quotes because I'm a big fan of them as well. So good use. Yes, yeah, right? And that's always fantastic. Well, no, you actually bring up a really good point, right? So people come in, great analogy, right? People come in and it's sort of dump all this on you, and it's a great assessment of that. So what do you do with all of that negative energy, Jen?
Whoo! That's a hard one. That's a hard lesson. We're still going through it. I have therapy once a week, so we're diving deep into that. But before, you know, I would take a lot of, you know, feelings and emotions, and I'd put it into my projects and my writing. But ever since quarantine hit and LA kind of shut down a bit, I haven't really been doing much of that. You know, I also was like a workaholic too, like before quarantine hit. So when quarantine hit, there was like a lot of realities, you know, happening for me where it was like, I have all this time and I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have a red carpet to attend to. I don't have a project that I'm doing. What am I doing? Lots of time to think and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, getting back into kind of normal life, I'm taking a lot of those emotions and putting it back into my writing again and in my projects.
Yeah, thanks for walking through that. I mean, obviously, it sounds like a pretty stressful time for you there, kind of being alone with your thoughts and wondering what you're going to do with this. You don't have those distractions anymore. So, but you made it through.
That says a lot. Yes, definitely made it through. Still surviving.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, and you mentioned your writing. So what do you write about? How is all these thoughts in your head and Jen's head get on the paper? Like what's on that paper there when you're writing?
I just kind of go with a gut feeling that I'll get. Okay. You know, a majority of the time, I either write about like a scenario that I'm going through, or I write about feelings that someone, you know, kind of made me go through or whatever. A lot of times when I'm killing somebody, it's definitely somebody in real life, you know, that I'm just letting all that go. But I love crime. I love true crime. So one of my short films is based off of a true crime story. I just, whatever is kind of in the moment, I just kind of go with. I go with that gut feeling. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot of people always trust their gut feeling, so it says a lot that you do.
And it's taken a lot of lessons to realize that's what you should do. Trust your gut, no matter what. Trust your gut.
Yeah, I think, first of all, it's fantastic you were able to identify that as a lesson learned and also, talk about it. Could you talk about a time whenever maybe you didn't trust your gut and sort of what happened with that?
A really big one that I was dealing with over the past year was I was in a working relationship with a narcissist. And we can go real deep and dark with that.
We can go as deep and dark as you want to, Jen. That's cool. Okay, go ahead.
And in the beginning, I knew that something was off. Something was not right. I knew that the situations that I was put in with this person were not normal. And I knew from the get-go that something was off, and I kept telling one of my really great friends, I'm like, something's just weird. There's just something strange and but I couldn't pinpoint it. And I couldn't pinpoint it until, the narcissist released me, I was kind of going through the whole healing from the trauma and stuff. That I knew from the very beginning that there was something wrong. I just didn't know what narcissism was. So I knew it existed. I had an idea of what it was, but now I really know what it is. I did my homework,
right.
And I can pinpoint a lot of things. And I, again, go with my gut feeling on a lot of stuff. And because in the industry, there's so much of that. There's so much narcissism, ego, and all that kind of stuff. So you really have to be careful. You really have to be cautious of who you let into your inner circle, who you let be exposed to your energy and stuff, because there are some people that will just take it and run and squash you and just go on their merry way.
Wow. So. And leave you with nothing, basically.
Leave you with absolutely nothing. Yes.
Wow. So the fact that you went and sort of did a bunch of research on this, because again, as you were going through it, you didn't know what was going on. It sounds like you had a lot of confusion. You had to talk to a lot of other people. What's going on here? Which causes a lot of stress anyway, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And this was during COVID as well, part of this relationship?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, a lot to deal with during that time. But it seems like one of the things that you do is you get knowledge on something, and that gives you power because you did a lot of research. So talk about that. Why was that so important, and how does knowledge benefit you?
Knowledge benefits in a lot of ways. You realize that you're not crazy. You're not the crazy one. You knew that there was something off. There was something weird. There's something that wasn't right. And the more that you kind of go on YouTube and delve, because I started therapy pretty much really immediately after all of this. And we didn't really delve into a lot of it. So I was kind of on my own. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a kind of a choice. I don't think I wanted to talk about it. I think I just kind of wanted to learn about it and then be able to let it go myself, work on it myself. So I went on YouTube. I found a whole bunch of support groups.
Wow.
And I've learned so much. And just because once you learn all of that stuff, then you can kind of pinpoint it in other people that come into your life or other scenarios that come into your life, So knowledge is a lot of power. No matter what, when it comes to writing or it comes to, researching a mental illness or whatever, the more you know, the better you're off, the more you can express and talk and just feel be kind of
That's thing. Right. To navigate all the complexities around you for sure.
Yes, awesome. Exactly.
Yeah, that's and I know that you do a lot of reading because you and I were talking because I'm kind of big into the five love languages, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
You're already familiar with that, so can you talk about? I don't know if everybody's familiar out there with the love languages book, but it's really just a way of trying to understand, especially whether you're in a relationship or in the workplace, what's the best way that you sort of feel appreciated. So, Do you want to talk about sort of what yours is and why that's there?
Sure. I actually did not read the book.
All right.
But I can tell you, I was at the tanning salon, and there is this girl that is a regular who, you know, you can tell, like, there are some people that are special and they're different, and you feel just comfortable around them immediately. Well, she's definitely one that I felt like that. And I don't know what we were talking about. Obviously, probably love and relationships, because her relationships are absolutely fascinating to me. Like she should have a reality show on her own. But she's also an Aries too, so it kind of makes sense. But so she had brought up the five love languages, and I was like, "What's that?" And she's like, "Oh my gosh, you have to go on and take this test, and you know it'll kind of break down like all the things." And I was like, "Okay," so I did it, and a lot of it made sense, you know. But I didn't read the book, so.
It's all right. It's all about full disclosure on this show, so thank you for doing that.
Yes, of course.
Yes. Well, it sounds like you're almost a therapist to people around you, including that person in the tanning salon who's talking about relationships.
I'm technically a bartender that does not get tipped.
Ooh, that's a good...
Yeah, I hear a lot of people's problems all the time, and I hear great stories, and then I also hear stories that I don't care for, you know? So it's always a... adventure.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, as your battery gets drained, because we are all as human beings, our batteries get drained, you know, burnout, compassion fatigue. It sounds like you may have a little bit of compassion fatigue in your life, where you sort of feel for people as an empath and it drains your battery. So writing is something for you. You mentioned you go to therapy, so which is obviously another way to do that. What else do you do to recharge your battery?
One thing that was super great, which I'm trying to get back onto, is I would run like 2 miles a day, like four or five times a week. I said that,
wow,
right?
When you say it out loud like that, you had to think about it,
like,
right?
So whoa, okay. That was a lot. I mean, when I was going through a lot and I couldn't control a lot of things that were going on in my life, I just knew I could get on that treadmill and just run, and then not give a care after I got off. I was so exhausted. I was like, whatever. Life is what it is. Let's just move on, type thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great example, right? I mean, at that moment, you're just worried about getting through that moment of running and running and running. So, to your point, nothing else seems to matter as much.
Yeah.
Now, what are you listening to while you're running and kind of running?
I watch TV.
No. Okay. Yeah. Any particular show specifically?
Okay, so I was kind of going through a 90 Day Fiancé little binge there. I went
No judgment or anything about that.
So. Yeah, nobody's judging here, right?
Nobody's judging. That's right. No judgment-free zone. So, no, please. Go on.
I'm going to say it wrong, but it was the Miss Maisel. I went through the two seasons of Miss Maisel, and then I was like, "Oh my god. We're now in quarantine, like season 3. Lordy knows when that's gonna happen." There was another British show. I want to call it Flea, but I don't know if that's right. It was about this girl, and you kind of went through her life of like how she was with a boyfriend, and then they broke up, and then you know, like, she has a crazy relationship with her sister and her father, and her stepmother and all that kind of stuff. So I binged 2 seasons of that. What else did I do? Yeah.
Reminiscing,
I mean, 2 miles
about
is a really
shows.
Long time.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow. I mean, you know, you're multitasking, so it sounds like that really worked out. Okay. All right. That's cool. Thanks for sharing that. I'm going to ask you, so you mentioned the Aries, right? You said that the person you're talking to is an Aries. So, so tell me a bit about like astrology. As somebody who does not follow that at all, when you say that, I'm a little intrigued as to, I mean, what part does that play in your life? Or if you don't mind talking about that.
I mean, I'm not like a super big guru. I'm not like super on it. Like I was good friends, with this one girl for a while who like would get her chart read, and she would know like all these pinpoints and sun, you know, signs and like all this kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, it's cool. I couldn't really follow it. It was just a lot. But I'm very knowledgeable on certain signs, and usually I can tell once I get to know somebody what kind of sign they are, or it makes sense when I find out what kind of sign they are. But Yeah, I don't really. I see, and she was an Aries, and I didn't really know very many Aries.
Okay,
so that was a big lesson. Yeah,
interesting. Yeah. So I'm going to ask, and maybe you don't know me well enough yet, but what sign do you think I am?
Oh Lordy, I don't know. We might have to talk more.
Okay, well, maybe at some point I'll ask it. I'll reveal it at some point. How about that? And then you can say, "Oh, that makes sense, actually."
I feel like you do have a little bit of sensitivity. Like you definitely have an emotional side.
Sure, I do. Yes, I do. I do. I'm very emotional. Yes. No, I don't know. This is we're interviewing you, not.
It's back on me. Okay.
We're not going to go into that. We're not digging deep with Mark DiValenti on the show here for sure. So, but it's all right.
Why not? We can turn the tables. I can take over this interview.
I bet you could. I know that you could actually very well, but not today. Thanks, Jen. But actually, I do have a question on here, and it's something, you know, with Brain Burrow, it's really symbolic of, you know, all the sci-fi movies with the, like, Night of the Creeps with the, you know, the brain slug going into the. Well, of course, they go through the mouth. But anyway, so I have a question on here. It's called, "What makes you squirm?" Now, it's not about, like, what are you afraid of? It's more about, what's your trigger? So what is Jen's trigger whenever you experience it or see it that just kind of gets you squirmy?
Okay. This is going to sound really bad.
Okay.
But.
It's a disclaimer, so I'm a little worried.
Real blood.
What?
Like, yeah. Fake blood, special effects blood, wounds. I can roll around in that all day long. But real blood freaks me out.
Really?
Yes. Badly.
Any idea why?
I don't know. When I was... I was never really, like, sick as a kid. I only went to the doctors when I absolutely had to. And so when I had mono in high school, they had to, you know, draw blood to, like, do all these tests and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I remember freaking out. I was like, no, they can't do it. And it's not the needle. Mm-hmm. It was, like, the actual blood coming out of my body.
Oh, my gosh.
And so immediately after that happened, I passed out. To this day, if I get blood taken, I freak out and I pass out. If I see anybody else's blood... freaks me out.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So then how the heck did you get into your line of business then? Your
right?
Passion?
Isn't that such a cliche?
It is. It is. So, I mean, at any point were you like, I'm not sure I can do this because it's... No.
No. Knowing that it's fake, I'm good. But real life, like, oh my God, like, I could never have children because if they came to me and, like, cut their finger open, I'd be like on the floor and they'd bleed to death or something. I don't know, but it would be so bad.
Yeah, interesting. Wow, all right. Thanks for sharing that. seriously, thank you. That was actually very interesting to know that about you. Yeah, it's I don't know how much you know about, and I sometimes refer to the primal brain or the lizard brain.
No, I don't know anything like that.
Yeah, so our brains are geared toward living, you know, thousands of years ago, we were living outside in the woods and caves and everything. So a lot of our behaviors today, and actually in some of my other podcasts, when I talk about some of these concepts, it's geared toward that. So we're like, for instance, as early humans, they scan their environment. And if they don't see anything that looks different, they know they're safe. So that's where sort of like the billboard mentality comes from. If you can't get the gist of a billboard in less than 3 seconds, it's too much because humans are geared toward constantly scanning.
Right.
So the point of bringing this up to you, because this isn't going to be like a biology lesson or anything, as I use my air quotes, it's really about, perhaps your response could be, you know, as early humans, we're constantly looking for things that go wrong in our environment and we have almost like a reaction that we can't even explain because we're like, okay, I don't want something bad to happen to me, or I don't want to get an infection if that person looks this way, etc. So go ahead.
That's funny that you say that, because when I was 4 or 5, I bashed my forehead in and I needed to go to the hospital and get stitches, and I was pouring blood.
Oh,
like the way that my aunt stopped it was she put my hair in like a towel turban. And then I had to go in like a police car to the hospital to get stitches. So,
oh my gosh.
But I was fine. I was like super cool then.
So maybe there's something a little deeper there going on. Interesting connection. Huh.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Wow. Thank you for kind of walking through that. You know, your trigger, your squirm of blood that comes up. all right. So what else, you know, I'm a big fan of that we're all imperfect, right? And there's actually a Japanese term for it called wabi-sabi. And I'm probably mispronouncing that because I'm not, you know, have the dialect.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good. Great. Thanks. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. But it's really about knowing that the world is imperfect and sort of embracing that imperfection.
Yeah.
It's actually a form of art. So what is imperfect about Jen Nangle?
Oh, my gosh. Everything.
Okay.
Everything.
Well, like what? What do you mean?
Well, I'm far from perfect. From perfect. I let's see. Well, let's bring out some of those qualities. Let's see. That's funny. Now that we have to talk about it, I don't really know what to say. I just feel like everything. I mean, I'm very seldom right. Unless okay. I've done a lot of research on it.
Yes, right, because you're building your knowledge bank up there.
Yeah, because then I can put, you know, go behind it with facts and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't fit the mold of what, you know, a Hollywood actress is known to be. Yeah, I guess. I don't know what else, but I'm far from perfect. I know I'm far from perfect. If I were perfect, it would be boring.
That is very true. Boring is perfect is boring. You are correct. It's okay. Again, you can choose to dig as deep as you want to or not. It's up to you. But I appreciate you, you know, going beneath the surface.
I'm sure something else will pop up and I'll be like, I'm imperfect, like blah, 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 when we keep talking.
Yes, exactly. That's all right. And feel free to, you know, shout it out as much as you want. One point in our conversations, and don't worry, I'm not going to say, here's all the things we've ever talked about, but do you...
Oh, are we getting Facebook Messenger out? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we could. You had mentioned about emotions, right? You said you were emotional as, I guess this show doesn't have a rating system on it. You said you're emotional as fuck is what you said.
So. AF, yeah.
Oh, yes, that's what I meant to say. I'll be editing that out, so. But yeah, so what does that mean? What does that phrase mean?
So, I, for all you astrological horoscope people out there, I'm a Pisces, and we tend to be really emotional. And I grew up with two Virgos as parents, and they are very stern and secure and kind of stoic with their emotions. And so the way that I would release a lot of anger or frustration or hurt as a child would be to cry. And that's been throughout my whole life. Like, that is my go-to to feel better, is I can just sob it out for as long as I need to, and then I feel better afterwards. In fact, when I was younger, I was crying about something. I don't know what it was, but my mom, because she brings this up all the time, she asked me, she's like, Jennifer, why are you crying? Like, why do you cry all the time? And I'm like, because it makes me feel better. And she was like, okay, good to know. And so ever since then, you know, I cry. It's okay. Jen cries because it makes her feel better. And then I let it out. I let it go. And then here we are. I also feel like I feel a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I feel a lot of things that a lot of people would just kind of like brush aside. Like, for me, I take things really personally. I'm like, over the years, especially living in Los Angeles, I've gotten over that. But like, you know, it's hard to not take things to heart, you know? Yeah. And so I feel for other people, and people are really upset or they're going through something and they're telling me about it. I feel those feelings too. So that's why I say I'm emotional.
Yeah, no. That, I mean, it seems like that really is that release for you, right? And people have sort of learned to accept it around you as well.
Yeah. Plus, when I was going through Meisner technique, if any actors have gone through a technique like, you know, studying or whatever, I would just cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. And my acting teacher was like, that's your talent. Don't lose it. And I'm like, okay, well, we good.
Wow. And you just kept going with it, apparently. I just, so that works out.
Always. All right. He'll always be a part of me.
Okay. And do you feel the need to sort of release that right now on this show?
You want me to cry right now?
No, I don't, actually. Please don't.
No.
Oh, no. So it's like, wow, that was actually pretty good. And even I, as a non-astrological person, got a guess. Maybe I'm wrong. You said you had two Virgos as parents, right? And you said that they were stoic. So I'm assuming it's like the Virgin, Virgo and stuff. Is that possibly a great guess? Or are you going to tell me that I'm gently wrong about that?
No, you're right. The Virgos are, I mean, it depends on, like, you know, their charts and their all their other signs and whatever. But usually Virgos are very stern. They are organized. They go direction. Like, they, emotion is not really there. I mean, they feel emotion, don't get me wrong, but like, it's not one of their things, you know.
Gotcha. So, yeah. Okay. That's an awesome way to try to understand how people may tend to react. So it's pretty cool. Good call out.
You're asking about Virgos. Does that mean that you're a Virgo?
Ah, that's a great inference, but it is an incorrect one. I am not.
I didn't think so, because seem a little sensitive, but anyway.
There's that sensitive thing. Don't let that rumor out somewhere. So, but thanks. Appreciate that. I know, right? No one's gonna watch that. So I have one final question for you, and it's probably an easy one. What gets you out of bed in the morning? In other words, what motivates you to kind of get up and face the day and do what you do best?
That is a very, very good question. Some days I don't really know the answer to that.
Okay.
Fair. But a lot of days it's really trying to go after that dream, you know? Mm. I wanted to be an actor since I was very young. I did theater from when I was 10 all the way through college. Then I moved out here and I've been doing it ever since. And I'm very passionate about being an actor. I'm very passionate about being a performer. And when I am working on a project that just makes me hungry, you know, it's really exciting. It's really fun. So I'm currently working on one right now. I'm in the writing process of it. So
okay,
that's kind of what gets me out of the bed. And plus I got to pay my bills. I got to go to work and pay my bills. So
that's right. That's
to
right.
keep There's, that dream alive. Yes.
That's right. It's for the purpose of the dream. So yeah, it's clear that you're very passionate about it. It's coming across very loud and clear how this is an important part of your life. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so I want to thank you, Jen, for coming on and talking today. It was a pleasure to kind of dig a little deep with you.
You just dug deep with Mark D. Do you want more? Follow Mark on Instagram @ValentiHorror and subscribe to the Brain Burrow podcast.